Hey, did you check Facebook? Look at this. They've announced the marathon
lineup. Oh my God.
The marathon lineup has been announced on Facebook.
What are they doing?
Through social media.
That is crazy talk.
That's amazing.
This should be coming at least 4 weeks from now.
Four weeks from now is like 2 weeks from the event.
Yes. I cannot believe they are this far ahead of the game.
Are you from like a 1940s serial or
those
something?
Those
like
guys
that?
Have it together. Let me tell you, they're fine looking guys.
That's right.
Strong American, hard chins,
chiseled abs.
Chiseled as.
Wow, we're not even a minute into this podcast. We're already
chiseled as Productions presents.
Chiseled as.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
We're here.
The lineup.
I can't believe it.
Can I
break the spell for a second?
You can break the spell.
For those of you in Radio Land who think this is live, it is.
Yes.
Completely live right now.
Pause it. Come back. It'll still be live.
So some of you will you'll know the lineup by this point. I hope, unless Kevin does something ass and like posts this in an hour.
Does something ass.
I got it. Goes on Twitter and says, I got me a scoop.
Does something ass.
It's coming, kids, that's man. That's the new hot phrase. He does something ass.
Yeah. But here's the catch, though. You all know what the lineup is if you're following this. I'm assuming if you're downloading this podcast, you have a certain degree of interest in the Sci-Fi Marathon. Sci-Fi, what, 186? Is that what it is?
100. It's like UFC 186.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it was 32?
SF 32.
All right. So if you're interested in Sci-Fi 32, SF 32, you've probably already know what the lineup is. The catch is I don't. Because
we are in a weird liminal time zone right now in which you know the lineup and yet Kevin doesn't, but yet we are in another time that is not necessarily exactly right after the lineup is announced.
You can get my live
Ponder. Yeah, Kevin has no idea what the lineup is right now.
So when I shit myself, that will be real.
Yeah, this will be, for those of you who hate the lineup, now that you know it, you can hear Kevin grill me and say, that's an awful lineup.
So why'd you do that?
What's up with that?
Why aren't we playing Moonraker?
Why? Why are we?
We should.
That's it. We're changing it. Moonraker's on.
We should do 24 hours of Moonraker.
For those of you who really want to see Moonraker, it's playing at the 40th annual Boston Science Fiction Marathon, which is happening over President's Day weekend.
In Boston.
So if you were on the fence before, now if you know Moonraker's playing, you'll probably get divorced, drop the kids, sell the house, and go to Boston to watch Moonraker with me.
It's only a two-hour movie, man.
I know.
You don't actually have to like sell the kids.
Sell the kids. Did I say sell the kids?
I don't remember.
I said sell the house.
Sure. Weren't the kids in the
house?
Don't
accuse me of being a child trafficker, please.
You know.
I love kids and animals. They're the only people who really like
me. But you would sell animals, wouldn't you? You would buy and sell animals.
I would let an animal go to its freedom.
That's sort of like saying you're going to kill it. Does that mean you're going to send it to the farm where all my dogs are? That I don't have anymore?
You're the Michael Vick of the film world, aren't you?
What?
I've been trying to expose this for years. I could buy you as an animal abuser.
See, look, you want to buy me.
Yeah.
Now, you were just talking all about purchasing.
You have that big weird tattoo on your head on the top that has that offensive symbol on it and all that. And I know how this happens.
I just got myself shaving.
Most of you don't know that. Yeah. He does a fine makeup job on his bald pate when he's out in public. But when he's sitting here at home, he rubs that off and looks in the mirror and says, that's right, baby. That's right.
That is not what I'm rubbing
on. That's the real Kevin.
At home alone.
Hey, by the way, I have to ask you because in our little pregame spiel, I didn't mention this at all because I was saving it for last. So the those of you out there in podcast land who don't know this, the Columbus, the Ohio, we call it the Ohio, but we're the Columbus.
Well, first of all, I'm Kevin Carr. This is Joe Neff.
Hi, I'm Joe Neff.
Just to break the silence.
Like Gamera, I am a friend to children everywhere. And my back is like scaly and hard and awful and
not indicted yet. Go on.
Thank you. Hey,
I'm a friend of children. That's what you do. Now, why don't you go get the windowless van, drive around to playgrounds, and just roll down. Hey, I'm a friend of children.
Gamera is probably so sad right now.
You want some candy?
There's big turtle tears being shed. No. Well, those of you who don't know this, there are three long-running 24-hour science fiction marathons in this country. Mm. Three that have actually been going on for a long, long time.
Would be what long-running means.
That's very true. Well, you know, if I learned anything in Messaging 101 when I went to that seminar, it's that people are stupid. I mean, people need to have things repeated to them. Yeah, there we go. Right. So anyway.
Social messaging?
Your social messaging, yes. Just hit them on Twitter. Hit It and Twit It, yeah. And
Hit It and Twit It?
That's a Funkadelic song, isn't it?
Is that really?
Hit It and Quit It is...
I think Hit It and Twit It. I am going to start a hashtag, Hit It and Twit It.
Hit It and Twit It. Did you see that mm-hmm. song? I put it on...
I don't see any songs.
I put it on my Facebook account like 6 months ago. It was the social media song.
No.
It was some awful song some seminar came up with to plug social media use in whatever the business they were lecturing to.
This sounds like that Windows 95 video with Jennifer Aniston and Matthew Perry.
Maybe. Possibly.
No, I mean on that level of...
It was bad.
Depth.
It was something, you know, extolling the virtues of social media with three awkward white people dancing around to it.
So pretty much every corporate meeting.
So someone out there, yeah, pretty much someone out there right now, and I want royalties when this happens, some moron in HR somewhere will say, wait a minute, the kids, they like Funkadelic, Hit It and Quit It, Hit It and Twit It, we got it now. If they do that, I want royalties from that awful takeoff song. Or I'll make it. I'll finally sell out. And you're looking around. Kevin's looking around.
I'm gonna tweet out the hashtag just so.
Hit It and Twit It.
Hit It and Twit It.
George Clinton's gonna be pissed. Is he on Twitter?
I don't know.
Because now that the Stephen King Twitter feud is finished, with me and him.
Trust me, I have other Clintons to take up issues with. I guess over. No, just kidding.
Hey, look at that. The topical humor is always a reason I come on this show.
It's a recording, a podcast with
right now
at Ohio Marathon.
Can I live narrate Kevin's live tweet of the podcast? You should live tweet the podcast. And when I say something stupid, be like, Jonah, so stupid. Hashtag get a life.
And twit it.
At Bootsy Collins, at George Clinton.
Tweet
at Eddie Hazel, RIP.
That's right, bitches. I just took up the hashtag.
You didn't think when you tuned into this podcast you'd be hearing about Funkadelic, did you?
No.
Anyway,
let's wrap.
Wait. There's the Columbus Marathon, which has been going on.
And where's that take place?
Currently at the Drexel Theater, 2254 East Main Street, Columbus, Ohio, in the lovely suburb of Bexley. www.drexel.net. Anyway, that's been running since...
They'll have it announced on the website in a couple weeks, I'm sure.
Possibly. it's been running since 1987 of your Earth years, not counting our time traveling that we engaged.
We talk about every damn year, so I'm not going to talk about it this year.
The Columbus Marathons, but specifically Columbus Sci-Fi, is the child, the younger sibling, one of the two, of the Boston Science Fiction Marathon.
Basket case Belial sibling.
Yeah. Yeah. If Boston is Dwayne, we are Belial.
Yeah.
And we love each other in that way. They love each other, I guess. And they do carry us around in a basket. And we kill people for them.
Why not?
It's a rough life, but hey.
You gotta eat for a living.
Boston has been going on since 1976.
Oh, look at me.
76. Yeah. Okay. Well, my math is awful. Thanks, Catholic schools.
Wow. You're a teacher, aren't you?
No. In math. I am no longer a teacher. Come on, I'm retired.
Oh.
I'm living in fact, I'm not even here right now. I'm in the Bahamas right now. I'm live linking myself in via the net and talking with Kevin.
I'm going to the Bahamas.
That's me drinking. That was terrible.
That was not
me trying to sound like I'm drinking out of a margarita glass, but
that's made out of paper.
That was a Starbucks cup.
You know what's funny? What's funny about
Wait.
Oh,
wait,
no, go on. I was ready to derail it right now.
Someone out there right now is going to say, get to the fucking point.
Well, they know what the movies are already.
Boston SF40. They've been going on since then. My partner in crime and the creator of the Columbus Marathons, Bruce Bartu, who's been on your podcast once because he's smart and he knows how to limit himself.
Once a decade.
Unlike me, who's like, everybody has him.
Joe, you want to come over and talk? Yeah.
I love talking. Bruce was the organizer / programmer / like figurehead of that marathon from like their third one till 10 and 11 when he moved to Columbus and started the Columbus Marathons.
Yeah.
Boston continues today. And Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, coincidentally enough, started a sci-fi marathon the same year as Boston did. So they just had their SF40. Mm. They run theirs 8 p.m. Friday night until like 1 or 2 in the morning Sunday, which is
their marathons are now middle-aged.
I guess so, yeah. We went a couple weekends ago to that. It was fun. And they showed a film that I somehow missed out on last year, but I'm glad I saw with an audience. And that was Yodorovsky's Dune.
Yeah.
You've seen that, obviously, yeah, right? Yeah. That was such a fantastic movie.
It was interesting,
and
yeah.
Let me tell you, if none of you have seen it, if you can wait and see it with an audience, preferably a large audience, do so. Because the moment near the end, and this is not really a spoiler, although if you... Well,
he never makes the movie, guys.
Damn it!
Thanks. Do you know how you know? Because he never made the movie.
I'm leaving now. I just... No, the moment...
It's like the Titanic sinks.
There's a moment near the end where they ask him about his fidelity to source material, Frank Herbert's Dune books. And the moment when Yodorovsky goes off talking about how adapting source material is like raping the bride. Mm. He says, I had to rape the bride. I had to rape Frank Herbert.
Yes, I remember.
Seeing that with the crowd, especially after they really dug the film the whole time, is awesome. Because everybody's like, whoa, wait, where'd that come from?
I'm very uncomfortable all of a sudden.
Yeah, yeah. The rest of
Did he eat a pudding pop afterwards or anything?
Oh, he doesn't rape brides. Come on. Oh, no.
Well, there's somebody's bride at some point, I'm sure.
I can't even say who he is because
Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby.
He's listening.
I got a joke for you. Ready?
He's coming for me.
All right. Three supermodels walk into the bar.
Yes, they do.
Bill Cosby's a bartender. They all get raped.
Hey!
Ba-da-bum.
Great. Bill Cosby's going to drop us now on Twitter.
Oh. He'll come to the house and be like, would you like this drink? No.
Hashtag hit it or twit it.
Hit it or twit it.
That's going to show up on the Cosby Twitter feed tonight. I'm back. Hashtag hit it or twit it.
Would you like a drink? Hit it or twit it. Here, take this pill. Hit it or twit it.
It was on that day we started something awful. Something terrible. Something monstrous. We didn't know how it would mutate into this thing. Hit it. Or twit it. Words matter, kids. Words matter. Don't just throw the words out because they're like a virus. If any of you have seen Pontypool, you'll understand this.
Oh, I spread
this, okay?
Viruses everywhere.
That's why I
let the
far
virus
away from you.
Spray in the wind. I don't care who it lands on.
Your wife must be so ashamed somewhere. That's
why
she's never here.
I usually wait for her to leave the room before I spray my virus into them.
I would hope so. So anyway,
So Bill Cosby raping the bride in Yodorovsky's Dune.
Yeah.
With Frank Herbert, big fat Frank Herbert dressed as a bride. Yodorovsky getting bent over and lifting the dress and everything.
We'll be right back after this commercial break to Free Association Theater.
Somehow in my mind's eye, I pictured the big fat Frank Herbert from like the 80s with the big beard, but he's wearing like a George Lucas plaid shirt and khakis, yet a bride's outfit on top of it, bent over in Yodorovsky's office with all the books around.
My brain hurts now. Yeah. I'll just leave it at this. Yodorovsky's Dune is possibly the greatest film about a film that was never made I've ever seen.
Are we showing that at this one?
No.
Okay.
It would be cool. We joked around after that. We said, okay, we have to go and do all Dune all the time. We should do Yodorovsky's Dune.
Yeah.
Dune, the Lynch version.
Which I love, by the way. Oh, I'm a huge defender of David Lynch's Dune.
I used to hate David Lynch's Dune. And if anyone knows me out there, they know David Lynch is like one of my all-time favorite directors. For years I hated Lynch's Dune until last year's Case Western Marathon when they showed Lynch's Dune, and I hadn't seen it in years, and man, I had a come to Jesus moment with that.
I love that moment.
It was beautiful. Now, it probably helped that it was at about 2 in the afternoon and I had been up the whole night, but I suddenly got it. And
I mean, if anyone raped Frank Herbert, it was David Lynch.
I suggested that we should show Dune last year at Sci-Fi.
It's been shown before at the marathon.
1992, yeah.
I'm a huge defender of Dune. I will defend it to my dying. And that pissed me off in Yodorovsky's Dune, where he's like, it was shit and I didn't like it. And I'm like, you're talking about making an 18-hour movie with psychedelic drugs and Salvador Dali
and Orson Welles
eating like a ham hock in the middle of the scene.
And Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
And Mick Jagger.
Yeah. What's funny is when you
Salvador Dali's a cast of his head, so he can be the highest paid actor of all time per minute.
Well, what's so amazing about I watched Yodorovsky's Dune. I think it's amazing, and all these people came out of it and were like, "Oh, this is he should have made this movie. He should have made this movie." I'm like, oh, this would have been an absolute unmitigated disaster if it ever were made. It would have been a fascinating movie.
It was the 70s, man.
But
disaster.
It's amazing
happened.
It got that far.
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, Peter Jackson could do it now and split into three movies.
That would be dreamy. We could do Yodorovsky's Dune, Lynch's Dune, the Dune TV series, the sequel to the Dune TV series, and then to play in with one of my friend's longtime obsessions, which is a worm-based marathon.
Ooh, Tremors?
Slither.
Slither.
And Tremors, yeah.
And then we're done. And then you can show, like, you know, like the Texas Chainsaw remake and the Friday the 13th remake, all from Platinum Dunes.
I like that.
Which is absolutely great.
C plus. That joke is a C plus. I used to do that with my students when they try to tell a joke in class. I'd say B minus. It's getting there.
Wait, I didn't even get what your kids got. I just got a C plus.
I had some bright kids that I taught.
You're an idiot.
I have to say that because they're out there. They're probably listening. They're like, oh my God, Joe Wick does stuff.
Why are they not coming to the marathons?
They did. I actually, when we did Rockpocalypse,
well, there you go. That's
I had like
there's your answer.
Six or seven former students show up.
Oh, really?
I had to tell them
there
really,
were six or seven people at that marathon.
I know. I had to tell them we usually have more people than this. It's okay.
Because I thought I knew everybody in that room.
That's how every marathon is.
That's true.
I actually had a dream about the marathon the other night. I was sitting in my customary back row seat, and I looked around and thought, wow, there's a lot of people here. And then I stood up and realized the front six rows of the theater on all sides were empty, and everybody had just sat all the way back. Yeah. So please, everybody out there, don't make my nightmare come true.
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen. You don't want to see me cry at a marathon.
Oh, I do.
Okay.
All right. Can we get somebody to act out Yodorovsky and Frank Herbert's love affair for the costume contest? What if my wife's wedding dress still fits?
It has become the running joke that Kevin Carr, who I'm talking to right now, is looking for some excuse to get completely nude during a costume contest.
What's nude? I was going to wear khakis and a wedding dress.
I'm talking endgame here.
Oh, okay.
I know what your endgame is.
Who's going to play Yodorovsky? If I get bought dinner first, I may.
Yodorovsky?
Really?
He's not doing much. He just directed his first film in 25 years.
That's true. Who do you rape in that one?
I didn't see it. It is autobiographical, though.
It's about Bill Cosby. Okay, go on.
Starring Bill Cosby as Alejandro Yodorovsky and Kevin Carr as the bride.
Here, drink this with a pudding.
Hey, everybody, you should see Yodorovsky's Dune. It's really good.
It is good. It's worth seeing. All right.
Kevin and I have been talking for about 3 days, so if I'm a little raspy...
I've heard from loyal, faithful listeners that, you know, we could have, I've heard from loyal, faithful listeners, they like us when we ramble.
We have loyal, faithful listeners?
There's two or three of them.
I believe the term is bored listeners, right?
But we had a big discussion here because when I was going to schedule this, because I didn't want to scoop you with your own story.
Yes.
When we released this, or when you released
and
it on Facebook.
We haven't done this in 2 months either. We've taken quite the sabbatical.
Well, and you were like, well, release it at this time as late as possible. And I'm like, we're going to talk about nothing for like a half hour. We could like start it at 7.
You didn't tell me that part. You left that part out.
Yeah.
Okay. So those of you who are tuning in right now, you probably know the lineup. Some of you are probably saying, get to the lineup. I want to know more about it. Well, you know, we'll get to that. Don't worry. This will be Kevin doesn't know what the lineup is. We'll be rolling it out. We'll talk about it. You'll get a little more in-depth discussion, I'm sure. Kevin will grill me about, in his journalistic manner, about the relative merits of some of these films, blah, 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 blah.
You mean like William F. Buckley?
Yeah.
Okay.
I almost for a second there, you mumbled enough. I thought you said Willie Mac Buckley. And I thought, wait, is that William F. Buckley's illegitimate son?
That's sort of like the Saturday Night Live version of William
Hello,
F. Buckley.
Hello, I'm Willie Mac Buckley.
I'm Willie Mac Buckley.
You might not know me, but. So should we get to the main event?
Yeah, let's
As
let's
some
start.
Of people are out there
like. Because we got like, what, 15 movies to talk about?
Or 20.
Okay.
Or so, yeah.
They're very short.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. What's up first?
Yeah. Okay. Well,
give us the details of the event first.
Here's my preamble. Details, so first of all, this is SF32, the 32nd annual Ohio 24-hour science fiction marathon. Noon, March 14th. That's a Saturday.
Until Pi Day.
Oh shit! That's right. It is
Pi Day.
God damn it! We could have shown Pi.
You're not doing Pi.
That's it. I quit.
You should have started at like 9:53 in the morning. Isn't it that what it is? Like at 9:53 because it's 3.1493, whatever it is. 3.14201599.
We did this at school a few times where we had an announcement right on that time. I can't believe this was looking us right in the face and we could have shown Pi.
Well, you've got.
This marathon is very wanting at this point now.
Mm. now you're depressed.
I'm so depressed. Yeah. let me regroup.
Okay.
No, because I like Pi, and I've wanted to show Pi for a long time.
That would give you the excuse because if you would have shown Pi at any other marathon, people would be like, "What the fuck is this shit, man?"
Memo to self: have to show Pi. We'll cancel.
You can show Pi next year, can't you? No, it's a leap year. No, it's a leap year. Pi Day is going to be on Monday next year. You lost your chance.
I'm so angry right now. I'm just paging through my computer.
I just totally took the wind out of your sails. The whole look thing. At that. Oh, my gosh.
No, and the weird thing is I've put Pi on the list.
You're silently weeping.
Well, we've all talked about Pi for years. Like,
I talk about Pi all the time.
Hey.
It's like lemon meringue Pi.
Yeah. Okay, so.
You better have Pi there, at least. Concession.
Thank you for reminding me. See, folks, this is called the magic of radio. Because live, in studio, you're in the magical studio in the sky. You're seeing Kevin completely kill me. you're seeing the beginnings of how great things happen.
You just deflated like Rudolph, the red monster in the Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Yeah.
When he, the reducing oils.
I did.
And he turns
I used to
and
be such
the,
a man. I could have been a contender with Pi.
Throws the mouse out.
All right, live at the marathon, I'm going to eat Pi for the entire event. And it'll be like a replay of Stand By Me, the lard-ass episode.
As long as it's not like that one, that rock show in like Denmark or wherever they're getting in trouble. Somebody else's.
I don't know what that is.
Different sort of pie.
Okay, so. Okay, there we go.
Okay, yeah. We'll move on.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yes.
All right, what are we? Okay.
SF32.
Which is enough to protect you from the sun.
Noon March 14th until noon March 15th, mm-hmm. That's Saturday to Sunday, at the Drexel Theater. 2254 East Main Street, Columbus, Ohio. I forgot the zip code.
You can find it.
You can find it.
It's the only Drexel Theater.
So here's my little preamble. And a lot of you know this, but I kind of like to give it sometimes just in case, whenever we announce the lineup. And that is that booking an event like this, it's such a complex machine. There's so many moving parts in it. The one thing that we always strive for, number one, is to try to come up with a lineup that actually works as a lineup. It's easy to put 12 films together or 11 films together. Anybody can do that. But we try, emphasis on try.
Anymore with an internet connection could put that together.
Yeah, well, and you want to come, yeah. I'm just so depressed now. Thanks.
you're
pricking my balloons here. You're oh pie and internet.
Sorry
and,
about that.
Yeah, Netflix, boy.
You're a friend of children.
Man. Friend of children. It's a balance you're striking every year. Yeah. It's a balance between, you know, the traditional marathon lineup is always best if you can get a couple premieres and some old stuff and some new stuff and some lesser known stuff. But it's also sometimes, can we get this again after this year? Yeah. There are some films we've shown where we knew we could not get that again the next year, or it would be years before we could get it. There's one film in particular this year that one of the reasons we booked it is because right now, the studio that has the rights to it has the rights to it, and they might not after next year.
Oh, wow.
Because of some, you know, legal wranglings, things like that.
Oh, that always happens.
And we thought, okay, look, it's time, and it does kind of fit. But there's also trying to book a lineup that works as a lineup. I've been to marathons before where you look at the, and not just ours, but other people's marathons, where on paper the lineup looks great, and in practice it's like, it's really hard to get through, and there are weird placements. And you can never have an idea with that. I mean, there are very few marathons I've helped organize where I've thought, oh, that worked together in every possible way. Worked as a lineup, worked as a nice diverse thing, worked as something that would bring people in. So there's that. There's the fact that we continue to strive to show the best possible versions of things.
Right.
And our default is still, you know, go for 35mm or go for DCP first. Best things you can show them in. You know, there are things we've shown that have been ripped off of Blu-ray, which can look good depending on how you process it through the system. And we try, if we can, to hold off on things that we can't get in any other format or are really, really hard to get. Tenebrae at the Horror Marathon, there was one other way we could show it on film, and it became impossible to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, we try to do that, and it's a tough balance to strike sometimes. Because if we just wanted to come out, we could come out and show all DVDs if we wanted to.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, too, especially in this day and age, I think, you know, our philosophy is we want to try to get people, give them motivation to come, aside from just, hey, there's a bunch of films playing. And part of that is the format. Part of that is what we play. So there's a ton of different things that go into that. And if you have a theme, which we have this year, again, which I think this is breaking a record that it's two straight sci-fis that have a theme.
Okay.
A real theme, not like, you know, oh, we kind of
realized that it had a theme later.
Looking back, that that can limit you in some ways. That's not a bad thing. We did the Future Shock theme last year, and that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of things to do. But, again, there are certain parameters to do for that. So a lot of that goes in. Cost also goes into it. This is kind of the thing that a lot of people don't know, but if we want to show anything in 35 millimeter, and there are times, too, where if we want to show it in any decent format, we have to go 35 millimeter.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a film we've talked about for years showing, and we're not showing it this year, but we would like to, is The Black Hole, the Disney film. On home video right now, The Black Hole has an old DVD pressing, which looks okay on a TV, but I'm guessing would look kind of crappy, blown up on the big screen. The Black Hole was printed on Eastman color film, on Eastman stock, which notoriously tends to fade. So we know of at least one source for a 35mm print, which would be missing some of the color. But if we want to show it, that's probably the one way we could do it. And we could probably wrangle around a bit with it. And, you know, there are ways to filter out some of the lack of color and make it look a little bit better. But if we want to show it, that's the way we show it. So there's a limitation with that. And there's also a limitation where sometimes if there's, say, a print we want to show and a collector owns it, most studios are very open to letting you show that print, but you have to pay them.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to pay the collector. And you have to pay the shipping.
You have to get it shipped over. It's not like you can't email it.
So sometimes these 35 prints, we want to show them, but they're not cheap. I mean, that's why we bumped the ticket price for horror up to 40 and then 45.
Yeah.
And we're doing it again for sci-fi because, you know, we want to keep doing it, but film prints especially aren't getting any cheaper. Some DCPs aren't getting any cheaper. Some DCPs that we've booked are actually more expensive than what a 35 print would have been two or 3 years ago.
Hit it and twit it.
That's fine. Hit it and twit it. That happens. So I hope that doesn't sound like an apology.
No. I do feel like I just was sat down by my dad explaining why we can't get dessert and appetizer at the fancy restaurant.
Let me tell you the economics of dessert, okay? Because if you want to drive home tonight and I get gas, we're not getting dessert, okay?
He winks, looks at my mom. He's like, hit and twit it, baby. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's just...
It makes sense. But I think people don't realize that. So a lot of movies are so accessible now digitally, and a lot of people can just watch them on YouTube. You can't exactly just legally or practically just... You can't just show a YouTube video because it would look terrible.
Unless it's called Time of the Robots.
Well...
Whoops.
We won't. We won't talk about the dark days. Anyways.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I think we understand.
So there you go. And that being said, I mean, it's always been that way to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
Just having to winnow down things into 11 or 12 or 13 films, that's hard. We always get people who say, why don't you show this? And it's like, well, maybe there are things you don't know, and maybe we want to show it next year. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a good example. Popcorn for the horror marathon.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few of our long-term buddies who every year say, why don't they show Popcorn? It's like, I would like to show Popcorn. I really would. I get the feeling, in my mind, it's like, I want to show Popcorn, but if we do it, I want it to be in the right setting and with the right accoutrements and with the right stuff with it. And if there are other things we want to do, this is going to sound like a total bullshit job to the people who love Popcorn. Because this will sound like I'm trying to justify why we haven't shown it. But it's more of... if you're going to show that,
you got to murder somebody.
Do it right. Murder somebody. Yeah. And have it as part of a lineup where it'll work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only reason we haven't shown it. I think it would be fun to show Popcorn.
Yeah.
I really do.
That's
a cool. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a cool movie. Sometimes, though, like perfect example for Popcorn. Let's say you know you can get a print of Popcorn. I think we know we can get a print of Popcorn if my memory serves me right. It's not going away anytime soon.
Okay.
But we hit a marathon, and all of a sudden we discover, oh, we can show this and this and this and this, and we don't know when we're going to get that again.
Yeah.
You go down that road, and you start booking those films, all of a sudden you're halfway through. And then you have to think, we got to get a couple premieres. Oh, and we might want to get a couple more well-known titles because they always play well, and the casual fans get drawn in by them, mm-hmm. and then you're done.
Yeah.
And it's
the same reason why I never rented The Link for so many years.
The Link? What's The Link?
The Link with the evil chimpanzee. Oh no, the orangutan.
Is that the sequel to Shockma?
No. Well, it's a great companion piece to Shockma.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's about they took an orangutan, they painted him black, and they pretend he's a chimp.
Just stop right there.
Yeah, that's all you need. Amazing. But it was always I used to go to the old Big Bear in Kingsdale. which is now a giant eagle, and the giant eagle has moved to the other side. But it used to be on the other side. It was the big bear. And I would go in there, and they had a rinky-dink little... I have more videos in my house now than I think they had on their shelves, but it was a little rinky-dink video store. And I used to rent videos there, and I would always have The Link as my second choice because I knew it wasn't going anywhere. But I never ended up watching it. And then I watched on Netflix a couple years ago, and it's terrible.
Is The Link on Netflix right now?
I don't know right now. No. Maybe not.
Because I haven't seen Chakma yet.
Chakma's bad.
I've wanted to watch Chakma. I've heard good things about it.
Chakma is like it's like the baboon has the best storyline of all the characters.
You know, we should start this podcast. You should have it drop at like 6:30, a half hour before, because by the time we get done talking, I'll have announced the whole lineup on Facebook. Yeah.
Some
people here are saying this is taking foreplay to ludicrous extremes. Come on, we're ready. Let's go.
Make you wet your panties. Let's go.
Yeah.
What's the first movie on the list?
Okay. So we know SF-32. Here, let me do a sound effect. That's my little David Letterman.
I can read through that actually.
So we have a theme this year.
Yes.
And it's a theme that my partner in crime, Mr. Bartu, has been wanting to do for quite some time, and it offers a lot of different venues to go down. This year,
just like Bill Cosby,
is our long hey. Well, and you know, it's very appropriate for the theme because this is our salute to women in sci-fi.
Oh, Bill Cosby would love.
Yeah,
he'd have drinks for everybody.
Yeah, this is kind of like a sub theme of I think if I recall correctly, the films. Just about all the films that deal with women in sci-fi. It's kind of a kick-ass women in sci-fi.
So The Thing. I'm kidding.
Yes.
No, there's no
and
women.
And Suspiria. And that's it. And The Apple. No, unfortunately, The Apple is not coming back yet.
Aww.
Shh. I'm going rogue here. Let me tell you, The Apple will be back soon.
All right.
Okay, now.
What do we got?
I'm the Sarah Palin of the marathons. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. We don't need to get any more sidetracked than...
Special guest, Sarah Palin!
Than a Sarah Palin derailment.
Women in sci-fi with Sarah Palin as a special guest. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be kick-ass?
That would be interesting.
She could probably kick some asses, too.
Well, she would. I was asked by a radio show host if you put Newt Gingrich and Sarah Palin in a cage match together, who'd win? I'd say totally Sarah Palin, because she'd bring a gun and shoot.
Oh, Newt's just a tired old man at this
maybe
point.
Maybe it was, no, it wasn't. It was like Sarah Palin and Michael Moore. Whatever it was, Sarah Palin would be packing heat.
Michael Moore wouldn't fight her, though. That's not a good leftist
Michael
thing
Moore
to do.
Stand
Michael
up.
Moore couldn't. Michael Moore couldn't swing.
Oh,
swing
Michael
at a woman.
Moore would fight. He'd hit a girl if he had to. Guy has no morals.
Wow. No wow. So
he's a real douche. If you talk to people who know him, he's a douche.
Yeah, and
he's a real horrible guy.
So.
Yeah,
I don't care.
That's okay.
Ty Cobb was a horrible person. He was one of the greatest ball players of all time. Hey, dude, let me tell you something.
Okay, let's.
I grew up a long time ago. I don't go looking for my movie stars to be good people or my directors to be good people. I care about their films. If they want to be terrible people behind the scenes, that's cool. Hey, Tom Cruise, if you want to support what you do, go right ahead, man.
So we are showing a Bill Cosby movie.
Here comes
part six.
Oh wait, the Scientology lawyers are at the door right now. Yeah.
All right. So
we're premiering Alex. We're premiering Alex Gibney's Scientology film. That would be fun, actually. Oh, we should try that.
More documentaries.
That would be awesome.
So what's the first movie?
Oh, the first movie. Okay.
Jesus Christ! This is gonna be an 8-hour podcast. I gotta go somewhere tonight.
Oh wait,
man.
How long have we talked? Has this been a half hour or so?
Oh yeah.
Okay. All right, ladies and gents. Although you know it already. Yeah, if you're downloading this podcast and you don't know the film lineup, sorry that we've delayed this long.
Yeah.
Anyway, Kevin, old buddy, old pal, our salute to women in science fiction begins this year with an oldie but a goodie, a definite blast from the past, from the late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of women in sci-fi, you think in many ways of that era in which women were gaining traction in society. Mm-hmm. And you think of
Barbarella.
The era of sexual liberation. You're a dick. You know that? Barbarella. You really are. You're just such a dick.
It's Barbarella!
Is this going to be how it goes? Like, I know it. Yep, there we go.
Go and continue your spiel.
This is my show today. Okay, yeah. It's Barbarella.
Yes!
Jane Fonda. And a cast of amazing people, Jane Fonda, Milo
Plastic
O'Shea,
titties.
David Hemmings, Anita Pallenberg, vroom vroom.
Marcel Marceau.
Talk about a dick, man, okay?
Well,
do you know people who worked with Marcel Marceau?
They don't talk about it.
No.
There we go.
Anyway, yes, it is. It is from 1967 or 68. Barbarella, and a brand new DCP. We have not shown Barbarella since SF-11 back in 1997.
Wow.
For those of you who have seen Barbarella, you know about its charms. For those of you who
haven't, DCP.
Yeah.
Well, so you get plastic tits in perfect definition. Then,
pretty much. For those of you who have never seen Barbarella, it is very much a film of its time, but it's wildly enjoyable for that.
It's so out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's definite late 60s, va-va-voom.
What are the chances of bringing in Jane Fonda as a guest and wheeling in a North Vietnamese gun that she can stand on and take pictures?
I'm going to say 100%.
Yes. Really? Yes. That would be amazing.
In fact, she's on the phone right now.
Okay.
You heard it here.
Hanoi, what do you think?
Again, your topical humor is phenomenal, I have to say. It's like, I've never heard these jokes before. Wow.
Oh.
When did you turn into Glenn Beck all of a sudden, too?
What?
You're like, Michael Moore is an asshole.
Oh,
Jane Fonda, commie. That's right. I'm here to tell you straight. I'm Kevin Carr, looking out for the common people. Well done. Are you trying to transmogrify the Marathon Chat podcast into like left wing, right wing, point counterpoint?
No,
stuff?
I'm just making fun of the easiest.
You'd make a hell of a right wing bully. You know that?
What?
I think you could really. Yeah, you need like a hat. I think.
I am one chapeau away from being a right wing bully.
A chapeau.
Is that what you're saying? Lousy Frenchie.
I've never heard the words right wing and chapeau put together. That's pretty great. So yes, the first film is, well, not the first film scheduling-wise, but the first film I want to announce, because I tried to stagger this in a way that would make it interesting, is Barbarella from 1967-68.
I'm going to guess every single one before you say it. That's my goal.
No, you won't. There are a few of these you'll have no idea about.
That's my goal. My goal is to get a lap dance from Jessica Alba someday, but so far I've been batting zero on that one.
We'll work on that for Women in Sci-Fi.
Ooh, yeah. She was in sci-fi movies.
She was, yeah.
Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four.
The Eye.
The Eye. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to repeat what you say now.
Okay, Kevin's awesome.
I'm getting really the first film is Barbarella. The first film is Barbarella. Okay, so we have Barbarella.
Yeah.
For the next film, we stay in the same era.
All right.
And we, here, I have a little note here that I have to use for this.
Yeah.
A film that is not revived very often, but it does stay in that same 60s va-va-voom mod.
March of the Penguins.
Yes! For someone who has no idea about the lineup, they're going to listen to this and say, I think I know what the lineup is. I don't know. They were talking
like, it
about...
It might be Jodorowsky's dude.
You know, March of the Penguins.
March of the Penguins documentaries.
Bill Cosby himself. Barbarella.
Devlin Max Devlin. Letter Devlin Part 6.
Devlin. Okay, so... It's a film that is not revived that often, but we thought would be fun to show. I haven't seen it, actually. I will admit this, but I've always wanted to. Bruce is a big fan, and he pushed heavily for this. And that is from 1965.
The Satanist.
A little movie from Elio Petri, who was one of Italy's great...
There's the Italians!
Joe, you're not even going to let me finish. I feel like I'm saying two words. Like, I could say, and you're like, and, yep. Live every week here on ADD Marathon Chat. So the film was from Elio Petri. Elio Petri, if you don't know, is a major satirical Italian filmmaker. He very, very active in political satire back in the 60s. Mm. You might know him if any of you out there like the Criterion Collection. They recently reissued a film of his called An Investigation of a Citizen Above Suspicion, which is about a corrupt cop in 1960s Italy who murders, I think, his ex-girlfriend, and he has to lead the investigation. And it's a huge, very dry, dark satire about corruption in the police force. And
so it's about current events here in America, is what you're saying. That wasn't
just,
right wing at all.
You're just reaching right now. It's
that
like,
wasn't right wing.
You're dad drank. You did, didn't you?
This not is today.
Anyway, Elio Petri directing the great Marcello Mastroianni from Eight and a Half and a lot of other things, and the lustrous, luscious Ursula Andress.
Ooh.
In a little movie called The Tenth Victim.
I've never seen that.
If there's one thing I learned in my years of teaching in my former career, it is if someone else can say it better than you, utilize them. Because I could go on for hours about F. Scott Fitzgerald, but I'd rather just show you this documentary that does it in a much more concise way than me. Okay. So this is from the website of the Harvard Film Archive. They did a salute to Ilio Petri 10 years ago. And this is their description of The Tenth Victim, which is better than the one I could give right now because I haven't seen it.
Is it a sequel to The Ninth Gate?
D plus. Wow.
Wow, you're mean.
This is... The Tenth... Yeah, your game has gotten really out of shape, you know?
Oh, it hasn't?
You got to work on this.
You're just cynical. You're just a cynical bastard.
Yeah, I'm the straight man. The Tenth Victim, per the Harvard Film Archive, I don't know who wrote this, because I don't know who was running it back in 2003, but this is from their website, quote, a flamboyant futuristic fantasy in the 1960s pop art sci-fi vein of Barbarella and Modesty Blaze. Ilio Petri's late-night cult classic is set in a 21st century where war and aggression have been replaced by a game of legalized murder called Manhunt. Mastroianni and sex goddess Ursula Andress star as computer-chosen contestants of this deadly televised spectacle. Haven't seen that, have you?
Sounds like The Biggest Loser.
She is out to make him her 10th victim in the contest, but romance inevitably intervenes. Legendary in part for Andress's lethal double-barreled brassiere, this lurid satire lampoons media and advertising, faddish 1960s religions and health trends, the obsession with fame and money, and much else. The 10th Victim.
So again, current events in America today.
Well, in so many ways, well, we showed Battle Royale. Or Battle Royale, I should say. No, it's...
Battle Royale.
Is it Royale?
It's like Battle Royale with cheese.
That's right. The film is Battle Royale.
Yeah.
So for those of you kids out there who thought The Hunger Games was the first film to deal with this, and then who went and watched Battle Royale and thought, oh, well, that's the first one, now you can go back and say, yeah, we've been talking about this for...
A long time.
Long, long time. The Tenth Victim. It should be fun. So Barbarella and The Tenth Victim. Now, we've got Jane Fonda so far. We've got Ursula Andress. Mm-hmm. And as Bruce commented to me the other day, and I enjoy this image, just think what Roger Vadim, who the director of Barbarella, and who also was Mr. Jane Fonda, I guess, at the time.
Mm. Mr. Hannah.
Just think what... Ha-ha! I love it.
A-minus.
Just think... grade yourself.
I'm just giving my own grade.
Just think what Roger Vadim would have done with a modern starlet, who is the star of our next film, and this is probably the one that the most of our younger viewers have seen, and maybe a lot of our older viewers.
Okay.
One of the things we strive for...
Serbian film.
One of the things... Yes. One of the things we... Vadim, Serbian film. One of the things we strive for, as I said, was trying to make a lineup that works as an entire lineup, and one of the things we always try, if we can, to figure out is, okay, in booking these 11 or 12 films... Is there something that would be really good to play in the middle of the night when brain cells are slightly atrophying and attention spans are hard to cultivate? Something that's enjoyable for its very popcorn sensibilities, visually bombastic, really funny stuff like that. And that's why this next one, the fantasy of Roger Vadim having, you know, directing this next young starlet... kind of led us to the next film, which is Luc Besson's award-winning massive hit Lucy from last year.
Oh, that just came out on DVD.
Shh, don't say that.
Not
just
in
didn't
America.
Come out on DVD. Yeah,
not in America.
This Lucy to me, I admit I kind of pushed for this too.
Lucy is fun with an audience.
It's fun.
It's very fun with.
It's kind of a dumb film, but I say that in the best possible way. It's so well done for being kind of dumb in some ways.
It's no dumber than. Barbarella. I mean,
it claims to play smart with the whole concept, you know. But again, it's if you can pick apart the concept, but you're missing the point. The point is that it's a Luc Besson film.
Yeah.
It's lots of bombastic visuals, and it's a lot of I was about to say telekinetic action, but which there is, I guess, some telekinetic action.
There is, yeah, that happens.
Kinetic and telekinetic. So Luc Besson's Lucy is the third film.
That's awesome.
Hopefully playing sometime in the middle of the night. Should be fun with the crowd, no matter what. So we got Barbarella, we got The Tenth Victim, we've got Lucy.
Yeah.
Imagine Roger Vadim directing Scarlett Johansson. Roger Vadim, is Vadim dead? I forget. I think he's dead.
If he tried to direct Scarlett Johansson, he probably would be.
Yeah.
Kablam.
Yeah. So we've got those three. Then we zoom all the way back from 2014, back to the 1950s. And what would a women in sci-fi... marathon B without at least one look at how some women aren't just kick-ass, but they're downright predatory.
Ooh.
Because the 50s were filled with films that were kind of expressions of fear of the feminine, attack of the 50-foot woman.
Common law wife.
Common law wife. You must see common law wife. Yes. So our fourth film is, and by the way, the 10th victim has never shown at a Columbus Marathon. Lucy yeah. obviously has never shown at a Columbus Marathon. No. The next one is a film that has also never shown at a Columbus Marathon.
Mm.
It is a rare 35 millimeter screening of Roger Corman's 1958 B-movie classic, The Wasp Woman.
Ooh.
Which shows once again how those women, they can't be trusted because they're probably sexual predators in some ways.
Yeah,
or covert sexual predators,
but
or
wasps,
coded sexual predators.
They got a tiny waist.
They'll sting you.
They'll get guys.
The Wasp Woman, which admittedly too is one I have not seen.
I haven't seen it. I think they may have done that on Mystery Science Theater, one of the very late,
potentially
late
they
seasons.
Have, yeah.
But I haven't seen that. That was in its waning days.
We wanted to get something from the '50s, and we found out we could get a 35 print of this.
Yep.
That'll be fun.
Cool.
So that kind of fills part of that slot.
Yeah.
In those things. Again, this is where we get into some.
Did you just literally say you're going to fill a slot in the woman in film, woman in science fiction?
Dr. Freud, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Pervert. A+.
Tab A in the slot. Great. Now, see what I've borne now? Kevin's going to be on all his future podcasts of any stripes, grading his own dumb jokes. And I say that's an A+, because I have a podcast. So, Barbarella, the 10th victim, Lucy, the Wasp Woman. Possibly one of your only opportunities to see the Wasp Woman in 35
yeah.
that you'll have in, I'm just going to say, your life.
Chance of seeing the Wasp Woman that's not on a DVD collection with 50 films in one box set is probably
yeah.
as well.
Yeah. That's what the marathons will be in the future. Well, it's time. Here we go. Let's see. Let's roll the dice and see which one of these 50 we're going to show.
Well, but these things, have you ever watched one of them from those sets? They're like the worst transfers.
Oh, yeah, I know. They're like sub VHS.
They're like, yeah, they're burned. They're like ripped off of like a 3/4-inch tape at a TV station.
Yeah. All right, so we're four films in.
Yeah.
Everything okay so far?
Yeah.
Everything up to your expectations?
Stinging me, baby.
Film number 5. This is a bit borderline film number 5 in that it does feature a very powerful female protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, you look at the first four and you've got Fonda, Ursula Andress, Scarlett Johansson. I forget who plays the Wasp Woman. I should know that, but some of you fans out there will look down on me for not knowing. The prominent female in number 5 is not necessarily known for her genre work.
Yeah.
But again, this is one where it's a film that we've kind of wanted to bring back for a long time, and we have access to a 35 millimeter print.
Mm.
So, from 1990, and it's one that has shown at a marathon before. Did I just lie? Oh my God, wait. I have to look through something. One, I did lie.
Uh-oh.
6 of the 11 titles have never shown at a marathon before.
Wow.
I can't believe I missed this. It's because it's easy to forget that this showed at a marathon before.
The one you're just about to say?
Yeah. From 1990, it's Richard Stanley's Hardware.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Which it premiered at a marathon.
It did.
I think it was a premiere.
Let me look back here. We're accessing the marathon archives right now. I can't believe I forgot that
pretty
showed
sure
at a marathon.
Well,
I wasn't there. And it's one that most people don't talk about that much. You can fill in. Oh, there's a reason for that.
Well, I mean, I wasn't a huge fan, but it has Yodorovsky playing Frank Herbert in his own.
It
scene
does have
together.
Lemmy and Iggy Pop in it. Come on,
if I recall correctly,
in walk-on roles. That was SF4. And it was not a premiere.
It wasn't a premiere.
No, because that was 1991 when it showed.
It was paired with something else.
It showed at 7:10 a.m. in the morning.
Really? What showed before and after it? Was that the one with Split Second? Was that where Split Second showed?
That was the year after.
Oh, okay.
It showed in between The Day the World Ended and Earth versus the Flying Saucers.
Ooh.
So.
It's a cyberpunk movie, really.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dylan McDermott. Stacey Travis, Iggy Pop,
yeah.
Lemmy in walk-on roles. and Richard Stanley, who you might know from his much beleaguered Island of Dr. Moreau adaptation, which he was fired from and which he supposedly snuck back on set for and blah, blah, blah. He's in Yodorovsky's Dune, I think. Mm. Yeah, he is. You ever seen Dust Devil?
No.
It's good. Dust Devil is probably his best film.
It's been on my Netflix queue for a while.
Worth checking out.
On and off, yeah.
So if you've never seen Hardware before, it's kind of a somewhat minor title, but you know, kind of fun, and hopefully it'll be interesting to see again with this audience.
Yeah, I'd be curious. I mean, it's been 20 some years since, what, 25 years?
Almost 25 years, yeah. So Barbarella, 10th Victim, Lucy, Wasp Woman, Hardware. Barbarella and DCP, Lucy and DCP, Wasp Woman and Hardware both in 35mm. Okay. Five films in. We get to film number six. And film number six is definitely a heavy hitter. It does feature several very memorable female characters, including at least two that are pretty kick-ass in their own way. Mm. And on a personal note, it is my favorite science fiction film of all time.
Wow.
And it is not... Okay, here's the deal. This has not played announced, advertised, ooh, planned at a Columbus Science Fiction Marathon since 1996.
Oh, wow.
We showed a different version of this back in 2010, but it was a last-minute replacement for something else that fell through, and it was in a theatrical print. Well, this is a brand-new DCP.
Ooh.
Of my favorite sci-fi film of all time, Blade Runner, The Final Cut.
Oh! There you go.
There we go, yeah. And I could sit here and talk for like 8 hours about Blade Runner.
Now that... Is that would have to be shown first? Is that gonna be shown first, or at least like before 8 o'clock?
I don't think it's gonna be shown first.
Okay,
you'll see why later. I think we have a pretty good idea of what will be shown first, and it'll become evident right at the end. I would hope, on a purely selfish level, to show it at a reasonable hour.
It should. You need to have.
But yeah. We do. This is what.
In Lucy, you can show Lucy at 3 a.m.
Well, this is why it's tricky, because it's figuring out where do these things fit. Best, and all I can promise is we'll figure something out between now and March.
I hope we'll show.
We'll get up in front of the
at
audience
at some point.
Have them all in a hat. Okay, projection booth, get ready.
In
here
a
we
hat,
go.
You right wing racist.
Hat. Chapeau.
A minus.
Yeah. I guess.
Okay.
I guess.
Give me the lead into the next one.
Blade Runner, the Final Cut, as you know, with the great Sean Young, Daryl Hannah. Joanna Cassidy, Rutger Hauer, Harrison Ford, Ridley Scott, maybe at the top of his game. The fantastic art direction, FX by Douglas Trumbull, cinematography by Jordan Cronenweth. One of the most revered sci-fi films of all time, and again, one that we have not shown and advertised since 1996 at SF10, and we've never shown the final cut version.
Mm.
This especially was one where we wanted to show it because it's a bigger title, but also because the current rights to the film, they were in flux for a little bit. They're now not in flux, but they might be in flux again in the near future. So
really?
we wanted to show it a couple years ago.
Is it Warner Brothers who has the rights?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it was a production company, because the Ladd Company produced it, and the Shaw Brothers were part of it,
yeah.
And there were a lot of different
tentacles
in there. So. But you're going to get to see...
And we're going to get the prequel coming, or the sequel coming up at some point.
Yeah. But Blade Runner, the Final Cut, so...
Starring Chris Pratt.
If you've never seen it. If you've never seen Blade Runner, I don't know what your problem is.
We're just judging you right now.
But it's pretty fantastic.
Judgerson.
So, we now get to the home stretch of the lineup.
Yeah.
And we get to our first of two premieres.
Ooh.
First up, we have what I could theoretically be described as Midwest, depending on how you define Midwest, but let's say officially the Ohio premiere of a film called Time Lapse.
Mm.
And I'm just going to read the IMDb description, because it's nice and succinct, and I'll just rattle on forever if I don't. The IMDb description: three friends discover a mysterious machine that takes pictures 24 hours into the future and conspire to use it for personal gain until disturbing and dangerous images begin to develop. It is the official selection from Fantasia Fest in Montreal last year. Best International Feature and Best Actress from the London Independent Film Festival. Best Sci-Fi Feature Film from Shriek Fest 2014. Best Picture from the Atlanta Underground Film Festival. Best Picture, Best Ensemble, Best Screenplay from the Orlando Film Festival.
Wow.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's been playing the fest circuit, as you can tell, for a while. Has gotten really good notices and seems to be a pretty good...
Is it an English language production?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Seems to be a pretty good... serious sci-fi film.
Mm, cool.
And we get the first big screening of the area for it, so should be good. The Ohio-ish premiere of
Ohio-ish.
The tri-state premiere of Time-Lapse.
Yeah.
And the second premiere, we kind of happen into this, that both premieres have a little bit of a sub-theme of being tinkerers or inventors.
Mm.
We have a film that has not played around a lot at all. In fact, this will be its Midwest premiere. We've had that confirmed by the filmmakers. It's a film from a collective of filmmakers from North Carolina, and it's called Shadows on the Wall. And not a ton that's known about it other than it's new, and it's hitting some kind of release later in March. And again, this is the description from, I forget if this is IMDb or the website. Palmer Marshall, an engineering student with anxiety issues, builds a miraculous device capable of reaching far beyond our understanding of known space. But in breaking this new boundary, Palmer and his friends have opened a Pandora's box with far-reaching and unforeseen consequences. The Social Network meets X-Files in this stark and snappy sci-fi suspense.
What junior marketing executive wrote that last one? The Social Network meets the X-Files.
They were watching Altman's The Player quite a bit.
They're like, let's figure out the way we can really nail it.
So it's about
starring Chris Pratt.
So it's about an engineering student with anxiety issues, but he's got heart.
Mm.
And we're going to get Bruce Willis and Goldie. I'm all about Goldie. I'm sure you've seen The Player, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, A plus right there. Thank you. Any Altman jokes?
C minus.
So, the Midwest premiere of Shadows on the Wall. So, this is probably your first time to see either of these films.
Wow.
We are trying, if we can, to get at minimum maybe a Skype interview with filmmakers from one or both of these.
Okay.
I don't know how that'll develop, and I think we had some interest maybe from one of them in trying to get someone to come out, but I don't want to promise anything that won't come through.
Yeah.
But we're efforting to try to get at least, at minimum, maybe a Skype interview with one of the filmmaking teams behind those.
Can you project that on the screen?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. They actually, the Drexel has finally, I forget if it's fully set up or it's right about to be fully set up, that they'll have full Skype. Skate capabilities.
What is this? Heaven's Gate next?
And Heaven's Gate, yes.
A+.
So we got Barbarella, The Tenth Victim, Lucy, The Wasp Woman, Hardware, Blade Runner, The Final Cut, the Ohio-ish premiere of Time Lapse, the Midwest premiere of Shadows
Midwest-ish
the Wall. And that takes us to our final three films.
All right.
And
I don't have much to say about those other two because I'm like, sounded interesting. Yeah. There we go.
Film number three of the third from the end, or film number eight. Nine in total.
We're just making up numbers.
Thanks,
at this point.
Catholic school math. Is a film that we tried to show a long time ago. We tried to show this film back at the final Rife Center marathon in 1998, and we couldn't because most of it didn't come in. And we've been thinking about it for years since, and we finally located a 35mm print, a pristine 35mm print of Julian Temple's cult classic, Earth Girls Are Easy.
Ah!
Jeff Goldblum, Gina Davis, Damon Wayans, Jim Carrey, Julie Brown, Michael McKean, Charles Rocket,
Dr. Love.
All of those in a film that, if you remember back in 1998, we showed the song Julie Brown sang.
You showed the blonde. Was it the blonde?
Yes, yeah. We showed that.
And yeah, then, I remember that.
That was it, because we had the print, but only three reels showed up. So if you remember, those of you who were there, remember, the options were given. Number one, we could show a different film, which we ended up showing them.
Yeah.
Or
them seems to be the go-to.
We could show the first three reels of Earth Girls Are Easy and then rent the Laserdisc and get a big screen TV and show the final two reels in the lobby of the Rife Center. No one wanted to do that. I think that would have been fun to see, like, at that point, 300 people out in the lobby trying to watch TV, but
no, it's just a reel.
Can't be that bad. We've had
it's
people
been a
request
long
it
time
for a while.
Since I've seen that one. That's
and it's fun and it's goofy and it's, you know, it's a nice little satire of 80s LA, and it's also got
Jeff Goldblum's pecs all over the
place.
Yeah.
This marathon has some great cast movies.
Oh yeah.
Barbarella, fantastic cast. Mm. Blade Runner, obviously phenomenal cast.
I've heard
Earth Girls Are Easy, fantastic cast. You know, a big good
before anybody was famous, really. I mean Jeff Goldblum and Gina D. But I think didn't they do this before they did The Fly?
I thought Earth Girls was 87 or 88.
Yeah, but I think it got delayed. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you mean they technically made it?
They made it, and then they did The Fly, and then Earth Girls Are Easy, I think, got released. If I recall, I think that was what happened.
Possibly.
I could be totally wrong.
Or
but
you
yeah,
could
Damon
be totally
Wayans.
Right.
when he was young and nobody knew who he was. This was before In Living Color. And then
Jim
it was
Carrey, obviously, before
Jim Carrey young. Before he did anything.
Well, think about that. Jim Carrey and Damon Wayans before In Living Color. Yeah. And they'd both go on to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And Keenan Ivory, he's sitting at home crying right now.
He's making Little Man Part 4. B plus.
Let's say B. Let's say 80, 86, verging on B plus.
Okay.
Now, here's the cool thing. Yeah. And this is for all of you who are buying tickets. Now, you can get tickets at the regular outlets, the Laughing Ogre Comics, right on 4258 North High Street, right by the Dear Departed Drexel North, RIP, which is now a Columbus Sports Connection, the Drexel ironic. Theater, or via PayPal. The first 100 ticket buyers
no.
are going to get a free vintage, as in... Came out when the film was released. A free vintage Earth Girls Are Easy bumper sticker.
Wow.
Wow, boy. Hot damn. Yeah. All right, then. Oh, are we going to get a free kiss, too? Boy. Okay. No, Bruce actually
awesome.
Surprised us all that he had a ton of them from way back when. So if you are the first, surprise, surprise, I can't believe Earth Girls bumper stickers are not hotter tickets right now. But the first 100 ticket buyers will get a free Earth Girls Are Easy bumper sticker. I
cool.
believe, okay, don't quote me on this because I forget, but I think the Drexel and the Ogre do have them in their possession.
Oh, wow.
So if you're in that camp, if you're a PayPal buyer, I think. Bruce is keeping track of that, so you'll probably get it when you show up. But yeah, if you want to, you could start a big viral sensation, and everybody who buys a ticket at the Ogre or the Drexel can put it on their car, and they'll be driving around town, and everybody will say, Earth Girls Are Easy, is it coming back? And you can say, why, yes, it is.
Hey, what's
that? 32, the 32nd Annual Ohio 24-Hour Science Fiction Marathon, noon March 14th to noon March 15th. And they'll say, that sounds great, pal. Let's do it.
Is that coming to Broadway?
Very soon, yes.
They got a musical starring.
So, in 35mm, which is a pretty rare
Delta-Zine.
Opportunity for you guys, you the people, and me.
That's pretty cool.
Earth Girls Are Easy. So all these films, you know, some great ensemble cast movies, and that's a good lead-in because...
Earth Girls Are Easy is such an 80s movie, too. It's
very much
it's
so
80s.
Well, if you want to talk about good ensemble casts, great ensemble casts, that leads me into the final two films of the marathon. And you asked about what's going to play first. And this, I think right now our plan is easily... that one of these will play first, because the other probably will play last, because for the first time since 1986, we're bringing back two films that are 1986, yikes, 1996, two films with fantastic ensemble casts, and really, if you're doing a tribute to women in sci-fi in modern days, can you really do a tribute to women in sci-fi without referencing quite possibly the uber woman in sci-fi, Sigourney Weaver,
yes.
because we have both Alien and Aliens, both in brand spanking new DCPs. Which two of the great ensemble casts in sci-fi of all time?
When they show them is, I mean, Aliens is pretty straightforward. But what cut are they using for Alien?
I have to check on that. I forget if they've made the director's cut the standard.
Okay.
I know. I saw. Let me think. I saw Alien in 35mm up in Cleveland when they reissued it with the director's cut. I'll have to check
back
on
in
that.
2004.
I don't know if they do the director's cut or not. I know like The Exorcist. I think the only version they book right now is director's cut, at least digitally. So I'll have to check.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's one of those. But yes, Alien and Aliens, which most likely will be the bookend for this.
That makes sense.
So in some ways, we're doing a tribute to 1996 because SF10 had Alien, Aliens, and Blade Runner.
That's true.
But not Blade Runner: The Final Cut. So to recap,
and maybe not Alien, the director's cut either.
No.
Possibly.
So to recap.
Ooh, that's a good lineup.
11 films for our tribute to women. And some of these, again, the premiere.
Why aren't you showing Jason X?
No, I'm just kidding. And Jason X! And The Apple. And Suspiria. To recap, the entire lineup is Barbarella, The Tenth Victim, Lucy, The Wasp Woman in 35mm, Hardware in 35mm, Blade Runner The Final Cut, the Ohio premiere of Time Lapse, the Midwest premiere of Shadows on the Wall, Earth Girls Are Easy in 35mm, a free bumper sticker for Earth Girls Are Easy to the first 100 ticket buyers, and Alien and Aliens. Bam.
That's
end of story.
I'll tell you, the reason that's a good lineup is because it's whenever you hear a lineup, you got to think, okay, I'm going to have to sleep at some point. I'm in
we
my
We like
40s.
To make lineups where
to.
You can't sleep. Yeah.
Yeah, and that has it. Now, I like the horror marathon. I made it, and then we hit strange color of your body's tears, and I was gone.
Don't even start.
I'm not saying it was bad. It was tough.
You just didn't get it. That's all.
Whatever.
You were just like, this is too smart for me.
Oh, it's because it was 3 a.m.
I'll admit, I drifted a bit near the end of Strange Colors.
Yeah.
But it's on Netflix, so go watch it again, you lazy bum. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure I saw all of it. It's just because
I repeat. Yeah, that's the Strange Colors soundtrack right there, by the way.
But no, I mean, it's when you sit there and look at that and be like, well, what am I going to sleep during? Ooh, I don't know. And that's a problem that I had with the Heart Marathon is all the ones in the middle of the night, I was like, oh, I don't want to sleep during that. And I end up dozing off like during Tenebrae and Night of the Creeps or Demons. Sorry.
It was just Demons.
Just Demons.
No Night.
Somebody Demons.
Night of the Demon Creeps. Night of the Creepy Demons.
Night of the Demon Creeps. Sounds like you've got some really bad thong riding up you.
Night of the Creepy Demons could be fun.
Starring Bill Cosby.
Hey! I can't even do it now. God, so that's
that supposed to be Fat Albert?
No, that was supposed to be a hey! There we go. Yeah, yeah.
It sounded like you're trying
to give you context. This is why I do it. I listen to sports talk radio usually in mid afternoons.
Okay,
and there's a show on 97.1, Common Man and Company. Mm. Free plug. Hello. The reason I listen to it is because I'm a big baseball fan.
Yeah.
But generally, I don't like sports talk radio because it gets self-important. But these guys are just, they're like us. They're goofballs. And it's like riffing on how stupid things are. There's a former Columbus sports broadcaster named Mark Bishop, who goes by Mark Munch Bishop.
Yes.
You remember Mark, but yeah.
Yeah.
Who's notable for telling awful jokes. So a long time ago on the show, whenever one of them would tell a really stupid joke, they would say, oh, it's getting a little munchy there, aren't you? And they would play the sound clip of Krusty the Clown laughing, going, hey, hey, hey. And so anytime one of them tells a stupid joke that's like a munch joke, they'll play the hey, hey bit. So now I've taken to doing that. Whenever there's like a dumb joke someone tells, I'll just go, hey, hey.
Or you'll grade it.
Now that's an in joke in my mind.
B minus.
Yeah.
See, I thought you're doing the, I thought you were going after the Bill Cosby Fat Albert.
No, that was it's hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
That's hey. Yeah, that was good. That
time
was
to have a drink on me.
That's at least an A minus. That's good. Yeah, I like that. I think this lineup works pretty well as a lineup. And I think we've done a pretty good job the last couple of years of having a booking stuff where you really want to stay. That's kind of our whole goal, you know. It's like, hey, book stuff where you'll want to stay for it, book stuff where you'll want to stay awake, book stuff.
Nothing's more depressing than going to a marathon and be like, well, I could miss these three or four movies.
Well, and it
maybe I'll go home and take a nap.
It is tough sometimes in booking these because it's the debate about stuff that shows in the middle of the night. One side would say it's a dead time, people will be asleep. One side would say try to get stuff that'll keep people awake. Both of those coexist. It's just the nature of the beast. For me, it's like I always try to get into it saying, well, wouldn't this be cool to show at 4 a.m. to keep people awake? But there's no guarantee that'll happen because so many things happen. And
well, but also sometimes in booking something recent, like Lucy.
Yeah.
The trend sometimes is to throw those in the middle of the night because if people have seen them, it gives them an opportunity to sleep. If not, it usually has enough action to it. They did that with Iron Man.
Yes, that's true.
What was the other one? The Pitch Black was done that way.
There's been the one thing I learned from marathons of past years ago was if you can put something third from last that will wake the crowd up, that's good.
Yeah. And
my
Lucy's
classic example is RoboCop 2 at my first sci-fi marathon.
Yeah.
Not a great movie, but boy, that was perfectly timed.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back, that movie's like over 2 hours long. Yeah. But it as a 16-year-old being there at that marathon, that was a huge wake up call.
Oh yeah, well and
you know the wake up
really
call was
Dread.
Crime does not pay. Okay,
nah.
That would B minus. You can't do it. You can't do the full Tom Waits, Krusty the Clown. Did you ever realize, by the way, that Tom Waits could sing anything and people would think it was a work of genius?
Yeah, I don't know if that's true. Although I did hear,
I love Tom Waits too.
I did hear David Bowie sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star on Conan O'Brien.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
No, that's not David Bowie. Doesn't sound
no, that's Tom
like
Waits,
that.
You dumbass. I like David Bowie, too. I'm turning you into Fat Albert. And now, White Fat Albert.
White Fat.
Fat White Albert.
Wow.
Hey, that should go on, that should go
I
on the flyer.
I don't know what to say.
Kevin Carr will be appearing at Sci-Fi as White Fat Albert.
I'll be
Could I be Rudy?
Yes, you could totally be Rudy.
People have accused me of being Mushmouth in the past.
Really? I'll be blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, most people think that Mushmouth is the guy with the thing over his face.
Yeah, he's not.
It's not. He's the guy with the scarf.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Boy, awkward silence now.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bo Cosby.
No, but what I was saying is, like the horror marathon, Your Next was the recent one, but that was a great way to kick it off.
Yeah.
Because so few people had a chance to see that. A lot of people saw Lucy, but maybe you missed it. Maybe it's a great little revisit.
Yeah.
You know, it's a short film. It's about 90 minutes.
It's only like 90 minutes, yeah. And I think sometimes that's the debate we've been having the last couple of years. There's no strict edict where we say we have to show something from the year before. No. At horror, for a couple of years, we struggled to get premieres. Mm. And because of that, we would get something that was underseen the year before as a de facto premiere-ish type experience.
Yeah.
And most of the crowd, like Kill List was that example. Most of the crowd hadn't seen Kill List. It was essentially a premiere to them.
Yeah.
But there's no hard and fast rule that we do that. But if there's something that fits and if there's something that would be good theoretically in that spot, you know, it's cool to show. And that I think is where Lucy falls into.
Would, are any of the movies, are they all in the English language? Or is there anything in, Italian?
Tenth Victim is an Italian film. We haven't discussed whether we'll show the dubbed or the subtitled version. That might depend on when it shows.
Yeah.
You're talking to the wrong person because I'm the purist. I'm like, dubbing, fuck dubbing.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I'll be honest with you. Dubbing.
Tell me, Glenn, please. Or Bill. Billo. Billo, should I say? Tell me, Billo. Tell you about dubbing, Greg. Dubbing, fascist.
Well, no. Anti-American. Dubbing from the 60s wasn't very good. Let's just put it that way.
I don't know which dub this is.
Yeah. It depends. Some stuff is really not well done, and it's going to be better with it. But then if it's got a good dub, it could work. You know, I mean, Ursula Andress was dubbed in Dr. No.
Yeah, that's true.
So
I don't know. Again, I always push for subtitles, but I'm a jerk. So.
Yeah, you're an elitist.
I am an elitist jerk.
Snob.
Jonah, elitist jerk. And I hope the film that... what film out of these would people hate? Because I had a hand in booking this whole thing. What's the one film that I intentionally put in there for people to hate?
Oh, let me see the list again. I'll tell you which one it is. Hardware?
It's weird. I had nothing to do with booking that.
I don't think anyone's going to hate. I mean,
no, I want to see it. I like Hardware, but
there's nothing here that screams hatred to me. I mean, you can't like say. I mean, there are going to be people who won't like The Wasp Women because it's a Roger Corman film from the 50s.
Yeah, but it's like 70 minutes.
But it's Roger Corman film from the 50s. It is what it is.
I will put the impetus back on Bruce. He has wanted to bring back Hardware for a while, and that's not me blaming him because I'd like to see it too.
I can't remember how well it went over. Honestly, yeah, I was really tired, and it was the middle of the night, and it got really loud, and I think I was trying to sleep.
Probably.
Yeah.
You were like 80 back then, I think, right?
It was.
Yeah.
I've looped around.
So you have any other questions about the lineup?
No,
I
think
now that whoever's listening to this waded through our 40 minutes of bullshit in the beginning and Yodorovsky's
to know what they
Dune,
already know.
To know what they already know. I hope some of this offered... I hope this was like the DVD extra, the director's commentary of the rollout for the film lineup.
We should do a commentary. We should videotape the audience during the marathon for 24 hours
and
then sit down and
afterwards.
Do a commentary on the audience. If you look at this guy, he's going to pick his nose.
That's me.
That guy.
He's doing that, by the way.
Totally has morning wood right now. Look at him shifting his seat.
Here, rewind. Now rewind the pants. Now note, you can see. Yeah, there it is right there. Yeah, that would be...
Using his phone!
If in Boston, the last 3 years, I think, someone has done a time-lapse video.
Yeah.
Of the whole crowd. They put the balcony in the Somerville right by the screen. They'll put a video camera up there, tape over the light, the power light. Yeah. And a day or two afterwards, they'll post the whole time lapse. I think they're still on YouTube. It's pretty cool.
Mm. Fucking NSA.
And it, yeah. And it's a lot of people, it's a lot of people like nodding their heads back and forth quickly and then leaving and then coming back in and then leaving and coming back in and then they leave and it's over.
You should have done a time lapse of the when you showed like a Serbian film and it'd be like, oh, everyone's a shift. Half the audience is gone.
We could have zoomed into people's faces as their jaws slowly drop more and more and more.
And then
and
there's
more.
That one person in the audience who looks really happy and just like, call the police.
I'd like to point out, by the way, that I, for once, did not even bring up Serbian film. Kevin did. Which
twice.
Confirms my twice. Suspicion that he's got a little thing for it.
I like a Serbian film.
Yeah, I do too.
I thought it was a good movie. It's disturbing.
Yes. Yes, it is. All right, so SF32, any more questions?
I think that's it.
We're, I know we'll get together at least once before the marathon to...
We should see each other again.
Do something. We should. We like each other enough. And we're the only two people who are listening to our respective bullshit.
Don't know now. Don't know where.
But if for more information on this stuff and for more updates, you can always find it on our Facebook page, which I don't have the address.
Facebook.com/Zizzix.com
or whatever you...
That was, when I
plugged my blog. Oh, yeah. By the way, if you want to read my take on Interstellar that I teased at the last podcast, you can visit my blog, Jason Stabler is Dead.
Spelled in an obscure way.
Which is Zizzix.com, as Kevin says, because Jason Stabler is such an obscure name. At Dead Stabler, deadstabler.blogspot.com. That's where I make my money these days. And by make money, I mean nothing.
For those 17 hits.
Yeah. Hey, I get at least 30. Okay.
Ooh.
Take that back. You can check out the Ohio Marathon's Facebook page.
Go to facebook.com/ It's Ohio, Ohio Science Fiction and Horror Marathon.
Or just go on a search engine and look up Ohio Science Fiction Marathon Facebook.
Yeah.
That's it. And it'll take you right to it.
Don't do Ohio Marathon because you'll get all this running nonsense that I don't care about.
You can find it there. You can find it on Twitter at Ohio Marathons. Yeah, laugh it up, fuzzball.
At D-minus.
You can also visit us at scifimarathon.com, where we have we will have information. And
hit it and tweet it, baby.
Hit it and tweet it. There's a forum on scifimarathon.com where we have spirited discussion and complaining. Mm-hmm. I mean, and constructive criticism.
That's what the internet's for, man.
And me telling everybody, people, calm down. Life will continue.
You get arguments started, and then Joe will come on and be like, guys, could be worse.
Could be a lot
worse.
Somebody
could have gotten killed.
Be happy for what you have, and everybody's alive, because could be the opposite. Okay? Thanks. A lot. Now I'm channeling.
You could have lost both dogs in the crash.
Now I'm channeling Bill O'Reilly. God, Jesus.
He's not from like Brooklyn.
The tone of my voice. Oh, okay. My general lecturing.
It wasn't the Bill O'Reilly accent.
No.
He's like, if Bill O'Reilly and John Travolta from Saturday Night Fever had a child.
Want to complain about the marathon? It could be worse. Okay. You don't like that? Too bad.
They are.
Now people are going to take that quote and put it on Twitter and say, you want to complain about the marathon? It could be worse. Just take it, quote Joe Neff. And then Twitter will be aflame and they'll be like, what a fascist. What a racist. I hate that guy.
Hashtag hit it or tweet it.
Hashtag hit it or tweet it. And then I'll have to get on and say, no. I was not saying snipers are bad or American Sniper is bad. I was just saying the movie reminded me of a Nazi propaganda film. I'm with you, Seth Rogen. I don't know what people's problem is. You're just trying to be funny. They put you in a box. And you don't belong in a box, Seth. You belong out in the open. Your brilliant little self. Your little redheaded, mischievous self. That's actually,
I want to see how far you go with this.
That's actually an excerpt from James Franco's upcoming book, I Love You, Seth.
I'm not surprised. Are you doing the audiobook for it? Because James Franco can't sit down.
I'm going to be playing James Franco in the James Franco story.
And Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Or I could play Seth Rogen.
By the way, I really like The Interview. That's probably my favorite James Franco comedy.
Really?
Yeah. So take that, America.
Better
Korea.
Than 127 Hours? Hilarious.
And Sweden. Germany. Russia. To quote Sting, believe me when I say it's true. I hope the Russians love their children, too. Ponder that until our next podcast, and we will talk. This is the point.
This is the point people
start saying, "Oh, like the medication must be wearing off at this point."
They're like, "Why don't they hit stop?" All right,
I think it's time to hit stop. So, thank you, Kevin, for once again hosting me in the studio in the sky. www.scifimarathon.com, March 14th and 15th. Ah,
I think we'll just end there.